Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the UK Film Review Podcast, and this is going to be another episode of the new film releases section. This time I'm going to be covering Lufa the Fallen Sun, the feature film continuation of the Lufa TV series. There's going to be spoilers, but initially we are just going to give a brief rundown of both our thoughts on the series and also spoiler-free thoughts on this new film. Then we'll jump into spoilers. So me and Jack, I'd say that we're both like fans of the show Lufa. I think Jack, you've watched it a lot more than I have, whereas I've kind of, for the most part, kept up with these seasons when they've come out.
Yeah, I've rewatched it a couple of times just because I quite enjoy, especially the way the early seasons were written, and I really liked it all the way through, but like the way it was. I think Luther as a protagonist is really interesting and quite fun to watch just because he kind of crisscrosses all along moral lines constantly, and you're always rooting for him, but he's like dangerous like a villain is, which I find quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of, like, for me, the appeal of it was also the storylines that they kind of created, both individually in terms of like these individual seasons, but also kind of overarching as well, because the prior series, series five, kind of felt in some ways like a big culmination, because although it did have like in a couple of individual like season specific characters, they also brought back characters from prior seasons, especially one like very key one, and they sort of ended up, It felt a lot like they were kind of closing that off to some extent.
With what happened to Alice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. It felt like it could have been the lost series. But I do remember at the time that when I watched series five, that I was actually more interested than ever to see a continuation, because to me it left on quite a strong hook, you know, it left on quite a strong cliffhanger, because, you know, it was like, without spoiling the entirety of series five, but I will just spoil like the very end of it, basically Luther gets framed for something and then he goes to jail, you know, that's basically how that series ends. But anyway, so I was super interested in this feature film continuation and what they were going to do. First of all, Jack, what did you think overall?
I liked the film.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love it. I think the way it picked up at the start was a bit odd.
I agree.
However, as it went on, it felt increasingly more cinematic, and I think it created quite a strong level of tension. I would I would say it was like an extended season three, season four episode is what it felt. Series three, series four episode is what it felt like to me.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta put it like it was tight. It was tense. It went well, and I think they were able to push Luther a little bit further in some places than they sometimes did in the series. But I'm not 100%. It got to the same emotional highs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then. Yeah. I'm on a similar wavelength, though. I'm a little bit more. I would say I'm a bit more negative, but not fully negative, because this movie is very watchable and it's very, very well made. Like, this is like it's one where they fully embraced the whole like transition from TV to film, because this is a really stunningly shot movie. It's really, really good looking, and it is very well directed.
I would agree with that, but I feel like the start very much felt like an episode of Luther in the way that it was shot.
Okay.
Like, even down to the way the lighting was, like inside the office, for example. And it was always a well shot series, to be fair, but it didn't feel dramatically different to me until he got out of prison.
Okay.
And I think it was a gradual move.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly grew increasingly cinematic as we got to the climax. I mean, the climax felt like something ripped out of a James Bond film.
I know, yeah, like, I felt the same way too.
And I mean that in a very positive way. Like, it's very Lutheran the way it was done, but in like this, in terms of the setting and the kind of, you know, the way the action played out, it felt a bit James Bondy. But then they also went very Lutheran in the way, you know, the whole concept of, you know, what the villain's plan was and the way they were getting at Luther. It was playing on some of the themes that kind of plagued him throughout the whole series, which I did find really interesting. And it's, even though they weren't fully resolved, really, by the end of it, it was still quite a fascinating deconstruction of it.
Okay, yeah. All right, but in terms of how I felt about that stuff, again, so I do praise how the film was made. I did quite like the musical score as well. Even though it's like very, very droney, I sort of quite like that sort of droning kind of musical score that kind of makes the scene more unsettling and disturbing and intense and stuff like that. The constant, you know, the what I'm talking about, the parts where the musical score was very like, you know, where it was like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was just this almost constant drone, which, to be fair, I think, again, it did build foreboding dread quite well, score-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes I felt it was in a place it didn't need to be.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I thought that maybe it was overused, because that is very constant throughout the film, and I did, like, there was some... you and I kind of agree, I think, on that point. Just I would just word it a bit differently. I can see what you mean. Anyway, so personally, in regards to all that stuff, like, that stuff was good. But I do think that maybe I do think that the problem I had overall with the film is that I do think some of that stuff got in the way of like the realism of the series. Or the kind of more groundedness of the series. To me, that was sort of a bit of a negative of turning it into a film, inherently.
They need to try and make it more cinematic in a way, kind of achieving some of the interesting things about the series. It didn't remove them completely, but what I found really interesting about the series was that, you know, there were longer conversations about, and it wasn't just, you know, brought down to the nature of evil and morals and things like that, but it was also to do with, you know, a lot more of the personal stakes and the almost like the mounting pressure on top of Luther. Like, you usually had like about three personal problems on top of the case problems, on top of the case then going personal, on top of physical danger.
Yep.
So here you had an attempt at making a personal problem, which I don't think landed. You had obviously the personal nature of the case, which landed quite well actually, and you had the physical danger, which again I think was really, really good. Like, you know, it's not often you saw in the series you saw Luther just get, you know, so physically injured.
That, like, in the like both in the early prison scene and also at the end as well, when he's kind of tied up on the chair too.
And going to spoilers for something I didn't think worked. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this. It's to do with the setup. It's the anger of the boy's mum towards, like, Luther specifically. I don't think it was set up nearly well enough. I just, like, to me it was like, yeah, she'd be mad, but she wouldn't be, like, that angry about it, like, in that way, and not specifically at him either. It just wouldn't happen. And I feel like it's because we didn't get a sense of how long that case was, because of how quick things were going on.
I can sort of see what you mean, because the way it's established in the opening is that, like, what they basically say, and this leads to a bit of awkwardness of this film as a sequel, which I do think, you know, which did really distract me upon first viewing. Second time I could more so put that aside, but as a sequel, first time around to series 5 and the way we left off, it does begin with this prologue sequence, and then it shows Luther arriving at the scene, and I was wondering, like, wait, when is this? Because, like, it didn't take that long to realize that it was like a flashback, but you don't quite know how, like, where it is in conjunction with the rest of the show.
Yeah, and
what you can guess maybe is that it was like right before the beginning of series 5, maybe. But it did feel, I think more my issue with it is that it felt kind of a bit like inserted when, you know.
I think one of my bigger issues with it was, which is the opening, was to do with series 5. Series 5 left off with him being arrested because of the way his actions got Halliday killed.
Yeah.
And then it got completely and he got framed too. Some dossier of all his dodgy dealings. It's a bit like, yeah, they knew that already though. They have that. That's just a thing they already have.
That was that. So that was kind of a problem in my opinion, and also in your opinion as well. Because, like, so it did feel like they kind of, like, what I think is that they had this, like, kind of separate narrative drafted out, and this was their attempt to try and kind of, I guess, incorporate it into the continuity that they already had. But it was a bit awkward because it does then leave you thinking, like, okay, but he got framed for something, and there was stuff that clearly happened at the end of series 5 that got him arrested, and now that, like, you're kind of adding on this thing of, like, oh well, his things got, like, leaked or whatever.
That's the main thing, which wasn't at the end of series 5.
I think it was just
a lot of death that series.
And I think what it was like it was that kind of thing about maybe they had this story and they just wanted to kind of connect.
I mean, I completely understand why they did it. It's because the whole point is they needed again to establish Andy Serkis's villain well enough. They needed to make him have a much more personal stake and a tormenting stake. And if he was then able to put, you know, Luther in prison and prevent him from saving the boy, it then creates a larger sense of antagonism. So structurally, it makes sense. Continuity-wise, you can make it work, but the film should have made it clearer how that then worked. It should have mentioned it was a stacked on top of thing.
Yeah. Which I assume maybe is what they were trying to go for. But the bigger issue as well was that, like, there's maybe one mention from anything that happened in series 5. So as a result, it doesn't really, like, if there was more of a mention where maybe they said, oh yeah, like, on like maybe if David Robey, the main villain, maybe if what he did was, like, he kind of saw what was going on and then just kind of took advantage of it by also, like, again, leaking this private info or something, that would have made it match up a little bit more, maybe, you know.
Agreed. And I think the way that they have set it up, what it does do is still create an emotionally rich narrative for someone who's never seen the series.
And I believe that that was their priority. I just personally think that maybe what they could have done is, like, if they didn't really want to necessarily make a direct sequel, when they were a sequel to series 5, and they wanted to make it a bit more standalone, I mean, I'm wondering maybe if they could have just made this a prequel set before that series and maybe just had it be set like a couple of years beforehand, where like this was just something that happened, you know, and it was in it, because then it can just be a purely self-contained narrative that didn't need to be at all brought up in like a season that we've already seen or anything like that. I think that might have been a better call. Like maybe, I mean, what do you think? Do you think that would have worked better?
No, I mean, I think it's fine that it is a sequel to Series 5. I think, you know, that's what we were interested in. We were like, you know, I remember watching the end of Series 5 and being like, wow, he actually got arrested? Really? That actually, wow, okay. You know, and being interested to see how that would go. And we sort of got to see that. But I think I think if it just tied in a little bit neater, I would have been fully on board. But I think I was a little removed from it watching it.
Yeah.
Because of those circumstances. And then because of that, it became a little bit less engaging to start with. I mean, as it got going, I did get into it, but it was...
Just If you remember the series, it does. It is jarring. It is definitely jarring.
I think the performances were good in the film.
Yeah, I agree. I want to touch on mainly Andy Serkis, I think, as the main villain.
Yeah, we can start there.
Yeah. I thought he was very, very good. He was very constantly menacing and very creepy. I was a little bit mixed on just how much screen time he got, though. And that's only because in the film, they show... And again, this is something I'm mixed on because I do kind of like this, but also I'm not sure about it also, because they basically have him almost constantly putting himself into these situations, like physically and personally. But they also do establish that he basically has this entire web of hired people that are working for him and that can do stuff, both like, you know, fellow like criminal minions and also, you know, innocent people that he's like blackmailing and stuff like that. Well, not really innocent people, but still like people that he's blackmailing, right? So on the one hand, so it's like you have these two different kinds of villains almost in the same character, you know, one that is very directly involved and the other one that has this complete control. So I was thinking to myself, like, could they have leaned into the whole mysterious mastermind thing? And would that have worked better? Or was it good enough? Because I did kind of like, especially in the opening, that he did put himself so much into these crimes. I don't know. What did you think about that?
I think it's a good thing that he put himself within those crimes, because it leads to a sense of him as an actual physical danger. And then when you get to the climax and in the car, you're not just like, oh, cool, so John's going to immediately kill him. There's actually concern there, which is a thing that you don't always get with mastermind villains. So
that's true.
That was nice. I think I would have liked a little bit more to be made of the mastermind villain aspect in some areas. I think it was done really well with the spoiler alert, with the police mole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was really interesting because you got to see a lot of phone conversations, but then there was also the idea he'd blackmailed other people. You don't get to see as much of that. And because of it, that things don't really have weight. I think the fact that we didn't really find out the kinds of secrets that he had on people, for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. What was sort of seemingly implied was that it was like, I don't know, some sort of like bad sexual interest or some kind of, or something like that.
We knew the kind of thing it was, but I think the fact that we didn't like specifically know about a couple of things on a personal level actually kind of weakened certain things. Like, for example, that wasn't that bad. Like I feel like at the point where the police officer, you know, that he had was it wasn't even that bad. Finding out what it was might have actually been quite interesting, because it would show the kind of thing. I think, I don't mean for everyone, but like, you know, those, like, for example, those jumpers, that was quite interesting. Like, what, you know, the idea of what could you have on someone. I guess, I suppose, withholding that information is a bit of to leave that looming sense of dread. Like, what could you have that would make you do that?
And then, yeah. But the most we get is just, is like, we get that scene where he has that lair where all those people are on computers, and we kind of do see some of these brief, like, video footage bits. But it does go by a little bit quickly. It is a bit of a montage.
I think with that bit, that's actually him moving towards the third act. Him taking the DCI's daughter. It was a bit, I don't know, it kind of did nothing for me, because she was introduced just to be kidnapped.
And that's kind of what I had too.
I didn't even care that she had a daughter, like, at all. So her grief felt very weak to me, because I didn't know this daughter was a character. I mean, I cared on the level of, oh, it's a child that got kidnapped. That sucks.
Yeah.
But I didn't engage with it emotionally, because there was no relationship built up at all. And the second she was introduced, I was like, ah, cool, something's going to happen. Oh, cool, something did.
Yeah, I agree. I sort of noticed that as well as a problem, because and I'm wondering also if, like, that would have landed a little bit better maybe had this been a series, because then we could have had, like, a couple of episodes with that character just in there, and then in, like, the season finale or something, she gets kidnapped or whatever.
I think thematically, he should have found something she was actually ashamed of and pressed on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing should have been her and Luther being able to cope with that shame and pressing on anyway. That thematically would have made more sense. I mean, you get that from Luther. I mean, Luther gets, you know, shamed throughout the film, and he just kind of goes, you know what? I am what I am. I've done what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a bad guy to catch. Everything else can be dealt with later. And, because you get the, with that, you get an idea of, he's not even not acknowledging the shame. He's just ignoring it because it's irrelevant to the good thing, which is interesting and defeats the villain's whole point. So it's a very interesting counterpoint. I think if you'd had someone then get put into the position where they could have been blackmailed and weren't, it would have undermined that villain's philosophy just that little bit more. There are some people you can't have the circumstances that will push. Again, it's pretty much the one bad day argument, but showing it's got no power, it would have worked better.
By that argument, he's saying, like, you know, like, a person can do something wrong, but you can't, like, hold that against them as, you know, as defining their whole character. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean that, you know, the whole idea that, you know, he's like, oh yeah, circumstances will make anyone a complete monster, and then showing that might not actually always be the case. And maybe, again, if you want to show the defeat of the villain, that's not hard to morally complicate either. I mean they did it with Luther. You know, he tried to, you know, again, spoilers for the ending, you know, when he tried to get Luther to shatter a kneecap, so he just couldn't do it because he wasn't a bad enough man deep down.
Yeah.
Like, that was interesting, and he couldn't shame that into happening. He couldn't guilt that into happening.
Mm.
And it was a great counterpoint moment. That was actually a very interesting moment. That part of the film was tense, fascinating. More could have been done with it, but that was a very intense part of the film, and thematically, that bit worked really well.
Okay. All right, I can understand that. But also to go back to the
performance, yeah.
Yeah, well. So, oh, yeah, actually, we did start on Andy Serkis, didn't we? Yeah. I mean, he did do really well. I did like, again, there was that slight part of me that maybe wouldn't have minded if he was more just a voice than a face. But he still had the appropriate look for the character. He was still he still was quite creepy and menacing, and there was something.
He was really expressive as well. Like,
his face.
I think, again, that's, if you're going to have Andy Serkis, there's a good reason to have him on camera, because just the way his little manic expressions were, you saw, like, these little twitches and things. He never looked quite steady, as controlled as he was in. He never looked as steady as he could have, and you get to see then, obviously, the big point about him actually being super anxious and as a person, that kind of thing. You see that throughout the film. It's quite interesting to see that built into the performance, and then the idea, you know, of having him, and you see him in these different
moods. Even when he's jovial, he's creepy. It's unsettling. It's unnerving because he's jovial about the wrong stuff.
I know. Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like, as a concept, like how intimate he is with his wife is unnerving.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And that's wicked as an idea. It's also good. That was actually a really good counterpoint, that scene. It was good performance, counterpoint performance, that, in the way that the energies of the actors clashed. You got that very steady, silent, almost drawn back from the wife, and that sense of normalcy in the face of a clearly abhorrent situation from certain characters. It was really...
Yeah, I agree. I mean, initially I didn't really... I was kind of confused by that scene, but upon later on, they fully, completely, and totally contextualize it. And upon a rewatch, yeah, I agree that the scene where he's interacting with his burned ex-wife and just kind of rubbing it in her face, the crimes that he's committing, is quite like disturbing. Like it does land, and I think the film, like, because I would say overall what was a bit unfortunate about the film, well, and actually I mentioned this earlier, didn't I, about how I think that maybe like it got a bit too big in terms of the film aspect. Like they I appreciate that they did still try as hard as they could to make it super gritty and disturbing, like Luther can be. Like that was good, and in that scene it shined well, and in a lot of other scenes it shined well, like in the opening scene as well, the opening prologue bit was quite good. I think it's also just as the film went on, there were just scenes in it that started to not really feel like Luther, but more like they were out of like kind of just a more general like action spy movie that was just like a lot more disturbing and gritty. And I'm thinking of the London set piece. I'm thinking even of the prison riot stuff, and especially like the climax with the whole snow setting. And the car chase, to me, that sort of, like, that was, like, those are probably my least favorite parts of the film, and I kind of preferred it when the film was a little bit more just kind of character dialogue focused, you know, all that stuff.
I mean, I think the issue with that is, and I agree with that, I think it's, Luther was always a far more cerebral series. It was a physical one. Like, yes, it was violent.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Luther loved to punch a suspect if he could. But it wasn't a series known for big fights and chases. It was Luther almost goaded the villain in submission and just completely outplayed him, and any violence was kind of as a consequence of that, so it was grounded in the character moment. And you had that with this, but then because the violence wasn't like short and almost a bit pitiful afterwards, it kind of gave an equal focus to those character beats and relationship beats to the action. And Luther's a series that I think, and as a character, as a storytelling media, you know, in the storytelling, I don't know the word, but like I'm going to say artifact, and we're going to just go with it. The storytelling artifact. It's about those emotional and character beats and those relationship beats more than it ever has been about action. So you should wait towards that. And I think if they'd done that in a couple more scenes, like setting up the daughter in the DCI, like a bit with more scenes, or setting up some of the shames and dropping them in a little bit throughout, so you can see how they could get, how they got exploited and how things got twisted, and helped you understand the villain in an even more disturbing way. And
yeah,
I think doing that would have slightly, would have been, you know, kept just as much in the spirit of Luther, but also kept it on the ground, which is where it thrives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I think that maybe in fact it might have been a good idea to remove a couple of the characters that are in this film and maybe replace it with scenes that kind of more so called back to the prior series, like maybe like these don't need to be like heavy continuity callbacks in terms of bringing back characters, but you could have had maybe some scenes that had Luther kind of reflecting on what happened in the prior season, maybe also like, you know, like that kind of, like what happened in the prior series could have come back to haunt him somewhat. I don't necessarily
I'm quite surprised we saw nothing of Alice at all. I mean, I know she died.
Yeah.
The impact that she had on Luther generally.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm just saying, like that could have been brought up, or like somehow, like you could have used some of the time in this film to focus on that and show, and maybe somehow emotionally tie it into what's going on in this film. Like maybe there could have been some kind of idea that Luther was doing this, and when he's doing this mission, all he cares about is simply stopping this guy. And he doesn't really care that much if he lives or dies. And maybe that ties into some kind of guilt for getting Alice killed. Just like stuff like that. Like maybe I'm just throwing that out there, but just stuff like that, I think would have made the film a bit stronger. And again, you know, maybe this is kind of tied into the whole conflict between making a continuation of the series and making a standalone film, you know? Because I think, you know, like, if that, like I don't know, had this been, like, Series 6, then maybe that stuff would have been in there. But there's only so much you can do in not just a standalone film, but also a film in general, you know. You know, I do have to say, though, for a film that is about, it's like 130 minutes as well, which is actually pretty long for a TV movie. I didn't think it really outstayed its welcome. At most, it did slightly start to sag just a little bit when there was a lot less action in the second hour. But
honestly, I didn't think it dragged at all. I'd actually agree
with that. I wouldn't say dragged, but I would sort of say like there was quite a lot of action in the first hour and quite a lot of intensity, and then it started to sort of dip a little bit when it was mostly kind of setting up the third act. You know,
I'd say they replaced that with Dread quite effectively.
Okay, yeah.
For me, I didn't notice the switch as much. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I picked up on it. The action was a lot less. It was a lot less physical, and things were a bit more moving parts. And because of the uncertainty, no one really knew where anyone was. It's, you know, it obviously slowed, but I don't think it was a dramatic slowing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think it's just because, again, partially because the action felt bigger. Maybe it could have been that to me, it seemed like a sudden, like, turnaround, maybe, you know.
I can see that, because I know, yeah, to be fair, the opening had, you know, a lot of breaking out of prison and all the rest of it.
And, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we came off like a major set piece in like London and stuff like that, and a chase sequence and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah, which fair enough. And that was a very emotionally intense moment, so you didn't need the time to settle, but I can kind of see what you mean.
But yeah, 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 yeah. But even in that sense, even when I'm saying that, I still don't think that the film, it didn't feel like it was like over 2 hours by any means. It just sort of...
Oh, no, it didn't. It felt right watching it. So the pacing, yeah. You know, the pacing was solid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there weren't like major sequences where I was like, oh, wow, that could have been cut entirely. I did understand why, like for the most part, why they had like certain scenes present in there, you know, and for like for this story and stuff like that, to make it all make sense and all that kind of thing, you know, and like, but I do just wonder, you know, like could they have added even more to it, and maybe then perhaps, but then perhaps, you know, like at that point you might as well have just made it like 2 episodes or something like that. So you do have to kind of keep to the limit, you know, the 2 hour limit and stuff like that, you know. Yeah, I don't know. So Yeah, I'd say
Sheldon was great as always.
Oh yeah. Actually, it's weird. We've got to talk about Idris. No. Idris was quite good. I think he mostly shined in that interrogation scene that he had with the guy who was sending the radio messages.
I think that was really solid. Draw. I actually really liked him in the prison as well, when he was just in that cell and there was nothing he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see him not being able to cope with that. I found that really engaging. I like the way you kind of had how slow the movement of his head was throughout that. You could just feel the weight of it on him, and I think that was a really smart choice that was made. I think.
Also the scene with the young guy who gets killed as well. I thought that was well played too. Yeah, it was the scene in the train station. That scene.
Oh yeah. That was a great scene. That was actually one of my favorite scenes of the film. It was really tense moment. It underlined that bit of the theme, because up until that point, you know, you've got that whole thing of Luther. You're constantly being reminded, Luther's a dodgy cop, and it was that. Yet he still stayed behind, out of complete fear of arrest and all the rest of it, to try and make sure that kid didn't die.
Yeah,
the way that he was, you could see the ultimate empathy in there right there. So then when it helps set up that bit later where Luther just can't hurt somebody who's innocent, he can't do it.
Yeah. And now that you say it as well, that does remind me that there was a little bit more drama with Luther himself, even if it wasn't quite as good as maybe prior seasons, that there was still character.
I think that's because it was less explicit here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in the series, what you had is you had a lot more conversations around it, even though he was just as guarded in the series, because you had the increase of time, the guard got to drop. While, because of the situation that Luther finds himself in here, and the lack of actual friends around him,
mm-hmm.
and people who can push him in that way, and the fact that he's alone for a lot of the film, you don't get that same vulnerability. So a lot of it is subtle character work that's done in moments in relation to others, as opposed to others in relation to him. And it works, but it lacks the same emotional rawness that you got from certain things. Like, you know, when they referenced obviously the death of Zoe, it was a great moment in the film, but it didn't have anything on how raw the moment was. It's just, I still remember that episode.
In series one when Luther's, wife dies and stuff like that. It was a powerful bit.
That was what I mean from my point about emotional highs. I don't think anything in this film hit as hard as something like that does. And I think ultimately Luther as a series was defined by really big emotional hard hits.
I would say series 3 and series 5 had those moments too. They had those they probably had more than one moments like that. They had a couple of parts that were these big series defining parts, and stuff like that. So
this film always feels like the resolution of a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the ending.
Let's talk about that. I think it almost felt like Idris Elba's audition for James Bond, despite the fact we know he's not going for it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The ending, the actual climax in terms of the way he outplayed the villain by playing on his own insecurities and his own shame.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Classic Luther. That's exactly what Luther would do, and that's exactly how Luther behaves.
Mm-hmm.
Worked really well, and it was really great to see the villain's facade just crumble into pieces in seconds. It's those moments I always loved from Luther.
Yeah.
And it just stayed in there for this. I think the car chase in the ice, I believed it, but it was very action movie like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they did take effort to show, Luther being human and barely being able to get to the car.
Yeah, definitely.
It still felt like a lot more of an action movie thing to do than it did a.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also talking about like after all of that, like when I'm talking about very like lost couple of scenes.
Yeah. So obviously, Luther survived that, which I mean, sure, I guess. Although he was under the water much longer than Andy Serkis' character was, and Andy Serkis drowned.
Yeah.
Which felt a bit strange to me watching it. I think the idea of... I don't understand why he ended up with government. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, so what I assumed was that basically because he had taken down like a major like cyber criminal, not like single-handedly by any means, but he like it was the fact that he did manage to take that guy down.
He's taken down worse and more dangerous than that plenty of times in the series. Don't go wrong, Andy Serkis was great. I wouldn't say he was, but in terms of a threat, Luther's dealt with worse than that. Look at the kind of things that, you know, Luther had dealt with people that had targeted high political targets. He'd dealt with people that took a school bus of children hostage. It's one of those, like, it's a bit like, oh, and there was, don't forget the terrorist attack that was on, he took out that terrorist attack that happened on.
Where was that in series two?
I think it was series three where, you know, he doused himself in petrol and walked.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was the finale of series two.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, that, I would argue, was a much bigger thing than this was, and it was also to do with cybercrime kind of thing, but in terms of stakes, I don't get what's special about this particular case. I mean, I know they didn't want Luther to go to prison, and neither did I. I feel like that would be a bit off. Come on.
Yeah.
Although I think, again, thematically, him returning to prison voluntarily might have actually worked better as well. As the idea of him, you know, being deep down a good man, which was kind of the idea that the film was propagating.
Yeah. I guess it would have been like a bit of a redemptive moment or something like that. I mean, because personally, I mean, I went into the film maybe wanting this to be one where like he kind of clears his name. But even if he did like clear his name of the stuff that he wasn't guilty of, he is still guilty of other things as well. So I can understand.
I love Luther as a character, but just so many illegal, immoral things. But again, all in the name of duty, which is why he was, you know, the perfect character for the whole morality debate in this series. The idea of are people born a certain way, and how do you blame that? How do you adapt to that? Can you blame them for that? How do you punish them that severely for that? Mm-hmm. Which was fascinating. He's the perfect character to explore it because he is, you know, in a way you could argue he's born the same way.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So in terms of what I thought of like the ending and stuff like that, I don't know, because on the one hand, it wasn't really that to me. I felt that it was unbelievable that it would happen. To me, it was more so like more my issue with it was that I felt that it was kind of teasing for something that would be even less like Luther and even less grounded to some extent than this film overall was. So I think initially that ending didn't leave a very good taste in my mouth, especially because it felt like a sort of cliffhanger that was sort of basing for like, you know, another continuation that would be where like he becomes a government agent or something like that. And it's a special agent.
Like, this was meant to be the end of it. Do you know what I think would have actually been fascinating in an ending?
Yeah.
Leave it completely ambiguous. He closes his eyes in the water. Maybe divers are coming, maybe they're not. That helicopter's going over. That's it. Done. He's done what he needed to do. You killed the villain. You don't then get whether there is a resolution or not. Because it doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to Luther whether he lives or dies. It's the kind of idea they propagate.
Okay, that
would have been interesting.
Do you think that would have worked regardless of if they had then done a continuation or not? Or do you think, you know,
I think it could have done. I think ultimately, you know, if this is meant to be the end of Luther, which is what it was set up to be and marketed as.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, or at least that's the vibe I was getting from the marketing previously.
Okay,
going to be a movie to finish it off, like Peaky Blinders is getting a movie to finish it off.
Mm-hmm.
Then what's the point of leaving it in an open ended? Unless they are going to go into more, obviously, in which case, yeah, it could be interesting, but it will also equally go completely against almost like what the series has built up to this point.
Yeah, a little bit, because it does end on a cliffhanger. We don't know for sure whether or not he accepts this government offer, and that's probably up to, you know, writer Neil Cross to kind of figure out what direction he wants to take the series next. Because, you know, Lufa, I could easily see him turning that down. I mean, personally, if I were to go with a different ending, because even taking out it's not really that great of an ending because it does leave stuff a bit too unresolved. So I think maybe a bit of a better ending would be to have the government people still come in maybe and to actually maybe get some kind of interaction. But what they instead say is like, you know, we're going to basically like exonerate you for the stuff that you have done as a result of you stopping this guy, but we're going to have to move you to like a safe house. You're now going to have to live in hiding. Maybe I actually thought that would be an interesting setup for maybe a new season, one where Lufa literally can't be like a cop and he literally cannot be any kind of a public figure because he has to live in hiding. I think that would be kind of a cool setup, and maybe like, you know, he'd see crimes and he'd still feel compelled to stop them or something like that, and then that would become a problem. You know, I don't know. What do you think of that idea?
I don't like it personally. I think
okay.
I just don't
like
think
like the idea of him being in hiding.
Luther's not the kind of character to do that. Like,
mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't happen. Like, yeah, he has been in hiding before. You know, like I'm not saying it's didn't happen, but it was because he chose to be because he didn't want to deal with life anymore. It wasn't to do with you know, him needing to. And I don't think it would make him interesting to us. See him look at fault crimes, see him feel compelled to stop them, because we already know he's compelled to stop them.
Mm-hmm. So
it's not interesting to put him in a position where he can't, because we all know that he just will.
That is true, yeah. Now that I think about it, like what I just described is kind of what series 5 showed in a brief flashback anyway, you know? Like without the whole government part, but it still showed him in hiding, and it still showed him feel compelled to come out of retirement, you know, because he wanted to stop crime and stuff like that. So yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, that idea I just suggested, it would kind of just be an extended version of something that was gotten across just fine in like a couple of scenes, you know, in series 5. So yeah. Okay, right. Let's shoot down that pitch. But still, I mean, still, I do think that maybe if they had like. Continued, it just extended that scene a little bit more and maybe more clearly chosen something and not just kind of left it to figure out later. You know, I think that might have been a little bit better, because then it would have been very clear what the direction next time would be. You know, it would have been like does he turn the off down and somehow what happens next? I don't know. It feels a little bit more like a forced cliffhanger to me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's a cliffhanger that might not ever even go anywhere. So I think it should have ended a little bit less open-ended, personally.
Yeah. I think, because Lufa is actually kind of famous for its cliffhanger endings, isn't it? But even then, it's like, you know, like there have been long gaps between the seasons, you know, in the past. So I do personally think that maybe... Yeah, a closed ending actually would have been kind of cool. What you suggested might not have been too bad of an ending, you know, because then they could, like, if they wanted to pick it up again, they could just show that he just ended up in a coma or something and survived, you know. And if the series got cancelled, then, you know, he's just dead. Yeah, that's a good idea you had, definitely. Yeah, okay, overall, I guess we should wrap things up. So yeah, we got into quite a lot of detail on it. Overall, I would still say it's, obviously, if you're a fan of the series, then you're going to watch it and you've probably seen it already. If you're not a fan of the show, well, I don't know. I don't think this is the best place to start. I think that if you just pick up from where the series began, then that would be pretty good, you know, to like properly, like I would suggest get into it. Cause I feel like Jack, as a fan of the show, you got more out of it than maybe the average person would, because you have all of that history, you know, with the character.
Yeah, there's little things that I'm just like, oh, I remember that. And, oh, that was good. And it kind of pulled you into some of the emotions quite well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's not even really to say that it's like a failure as a standalone film.
Not at all. I think it works really well as a standalone, actually.
Yeah. I don't like you, because even the stuff that, you know, I kind of pointed out early on, that is because we have seen the show, whereas to somebody who hasn't, I think it will play perfectly fine. It's just, you know, I just think there's just a teensy bit more to it, you know, if you're familiar. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, overall I'd say like what it is, because I kind of realized this with Luther as well, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, but I do think that the kind of the odd numbered like installments of Luther are the strongest, and the even numbered ones are decent and good, but not quite as good. Like, would you say that? Because to me, my favorites are series 1, 3, and 5.
No, I wouldn't agree with that. I think the only one that I wasn't 100% sure on was season 4. Series 2, I really liked.
Okay, yeah. Series 2 of Luther. Yeah. I guess I'm more just talking about like the peaks, you know, like where I think the show peaked the most. And, you know, to be fair, even when it didn't peak, like even with like some of the stuff I've said about this film, you know, it's still not like, I would say for a show that's been going on for like 12 years at this point, no, actually 13 years, Jesus, 13 years at this point, it still remained for the most part, I would say, consistent. And this film doesn't really ruin it.
No, it doesn't get rid of it at all. It's a fun, interesting story, and I do like that you get that little bit of extra action, even though I think it does cheapen it in some ways. It's also quite interesting to see Luther cut loose a little bit and see. It almost gives you an idea of what they would do if they could get away with it. And I didn't dislike it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it also was a little bit hard to reconcile with like what we've seen in the show up to this point. But that's just because, like, you've had, like, again, 13 years of, you know, like, you know, a show that has never really gone this big, and then they did get big. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess, you know, it's inherently what you're going to run into, I think, if you want to go in this direction. But, yeah. So, overall, I would say I would call this, again, I would call this, like, mid-tier Luther, but it's still not, but it's still, like, just about worth watching, I would say.
I'd say it's a good film. It's definitely worth the watch. I don't necessarily the peak of Luther, but if it does make me interested in the idea of Luther getting more films, if it does, and seeing where it would go. So that was good. It's anchored by some strong performances. It's shot really well. Like it gets beautiful as it goes on. Like it gets increasingly stunning. I think that's really nice to see.
Yeah. As much as as different as the snow setting is, it is photographed amazingly well. Like it looks like a big Hollywood film, in my opinion.
Yeah, and there's parts like the way he gets into the club, and the sequence in Piccadilly Circus was great. The tunnel again, it almost felt a little bit ripped out of Skyfall.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, overall, I guess that's it. So
I'd say definitely watch it if you get a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
Good time. If you're a fan of the series, I reckon you will enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So yeah, that concludes this episode. I have something planned for April, but, you know, seeing as how my plans change, I won't let you guys know what that is. You'll just have to wait. So, yeah, wait for the last Tuesday of April and you will get something. Okay, goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing.
Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.